world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much for tuning in live at SkidRowStudios.com every Monday at 9 p.m., as you may or may not already know. And thank you for subscribing on iTunes and also on Stitcher Radio on your mobile device and over at YouTube. We do appreciate it. This show brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with over 150,000 downloadable titles. For you, dear listeners, fans, friends, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial so you can try out their service, all while supporting the show. You get free stuff, and it supports us. So here's what you do. Go to audibletrial.com/cape to sign up for your free 30-day trial. Claim your free audiobook. And now, between now and next Monday, they actually have a spring cleaning sale, 50% off site-wide. So if you sign up, you get your 30-day trial as a member until Monday, April 20th, half off for their spring cleaning sale. So once again, audibletrial.com/cape. I just finished a book last night, actually, Make Art, Make Money, Lessons from Jim Henson on Fueling Your Creative Career, which is timely considering we're going to be talking in part about some Jim Henson-oriented stuff tonight. But really, really fascinating story about how he dealt with business, who handled his business, and what deals were made. It was actually a really fascinating breakdown. And of course, purchased through audible.com. So once again, audibletrial.com/cape. You can also click through the link at chrisabalo.com and get yourself a free audiobook, free 30-day trial. Check out their service. I've been an Audible member for 5 years, and I'm thrilled that they're a sponsor. Now, joining me live in the studio today, the hosts of Disney Coast to Coast, weekly show found on iTunes and YouTube. New episodes every Wednesday. Please welcome to the studio Jeff DePauly and Patrick Dougal. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hey, thank you for being here. Much appreciated. Jeff actually was on the first, let's say, Cape 1.0, the previous incarnation of the show. I believe it was Cape 25.
Yeah, we talked for quite some time.
We did, yeah. We did about an hour. It was a little
hour and
over
a half or
it was almost
like
an hour and a half.
Crazy.
Yeah, about TV and you making cupcakes for Carson Daly and all sorts of other stuff.
Oh, wow. Did I talk about that?
You did. And it was right before Jersey Boys came out last year.
Yes.
And you had an on-screen role with dialogue in Jersey Boys.
Yeah. It's come out and the public has spoken. Actually, it's been playing on HBO a ton lately.
It
so
has.
I've been getting those random texts and stuff of, was that you?
Yeah,
and,
is that you? I just saw it on HBO.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, look, there are worse messages to get from people.
Yeah, totally. It's cool.
Instead of, I think I just saw you in crisp HD.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that was a revelation. I didn't know you'd been in the movie when we talked on the show. So yeah, if you want to hear my chat with just Jeff as we talk about our various positions on the lower rungs on the Hollywood ladder, you can check out Cape 25, currently only at chrisabalo.com, but we're going to get those into the iTunes feed if you subscribe. We're going to work on that and get the full catalog on the iTunes feed. So once again, Jeff and Patrick host Disney Coast to Coast. Now that's Disney with a Z to be legally distinct.
Exactly.
Yes. Because Disney's litigious, to their credit. I mean, they've had some light success, so we can't knock them for it.
Yes.
But I personally listen to the show. I do have a bit of catching up on season two to do. So these guys know their stuff. They really, really do. And they're massive fans. And we all know how serious Disney files are anyway. So you guys have accumulated quite a following just based on your exploits.
Yeah, there's definitely quite a rabid fan base out there. And I mean, we're huge fans, but I think they're even more intense fans, shall we say, than us. So it's always interesting. I mean, even when we, you know,
I would say more experienced fans. Oh, obviously, I'm only 22, so they're like obviously Disney fans who have been went to opening day of Disneyland.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Are like true Disneyland fans, and then they're like, come me, and I'm like, I like Disney too, and they're like, oh, you're just 22.
Yeah. And it's always funny, like when, you know, our show is very much like we have topics of discussion, but we don't plan anything that we say. We just talk for around 30 minutes. about these topics.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, and so when we do this, you know, we make mistakes for sure. In fact, what was it, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about Muppet Vision 3D, which is an attraction in the Disney parks.
Yeah, it is.
And I was saying how I wish that they would do like a revamp of it. And I made a comment just saying, the only thing that would be really sad about that is the fact that what I meant to say was, it would be sad that because it was one of the last times that Jim Henson puppeteered Kermit.
Yes.
And what I said was Walt Disney instead of Jim Henson.
Ow. Yeah.
And, you know, it's error. Obviously, I didn't mean that. But
sure.
The comments that we got, like, it's hilarious that people are like, you meant to say Jim Henson. I'm like, yes, I know.
Yes,
that.
I did. Thank you so much for correcting the internet. Yeah. You can always count on the internet to so let you know when you've stumbled upon some misinformation.
It's always fun. But also, it's really cool when like people will be questioning something and people write in and they'll give us the information. It's like, great, we didn't even have to research this. Like these people.
Thank you, internet.
Seriously, they're fantastic. So we love when our listeners interact with us.
It's fun. It's great. And there's such a bottomless well of information for a company as huge as Disney that it's
the company that owns everything these days.
That well just gets deeper and deeper as they acquire other properties. They're like the Yankees of movie studios. They just pick up all the top performers from other areas and they're just like, hey, come under our banner.
That is a good little analogy there that at first I didn't get until you explained it, but now I get
I don't follow sports, but being an East Coaster, I'm aware of the Yankees' success strategy.
Sounds good.
And I can liken it to Disney. I'm not one for sports analogies either, but you know what? It works. Anybody who's listening might appreciate that. I want to talk about quite a few things because I'm very, very curious about overall what I should be seeing in the park because I've, and Jeff nearly leapt across the desk and strangled me when I told him this. I've been to Disneyland once. It was one weekend in February of 2007, I said Patrick's heart's breaking as I'm sitting here. I'm looking at his
face. Was there was like a day ago.
Yeah, it's like I was there 13 hours ago. Like this is nothing. I haven't been in quite a while. And frankly, there are a lot of people haven't been. It's an international destination. Disneyland and Disney World, of course. Walt Disney World, that's right. And what is it I should, on my next trip, specifically to Disneyland, what is it that I need to hit up when I'm there?
I think we can both agree with one thing.
I was going to say first, I think a general rule for this year is wait until after May 22nd.
Yes.
Because that's when everything Disneyland 60th anniversary is starting. The official anniversary date is July 17th. It's the 60th anniversary of Disneyland, but all of the special events for Disneyland 60th begin on May 22nd. And I think the thing that Patrick was referring to, shall we say it on three? One, two, three. Fantasmic. Okay. Fantasmic is, I actually tell people, if you haven't seen Fantasmic, you have not seen Disneyland. Patrick agrees.
Yeah, it is beyond comprehension. It is the quintessential nighttime show for any park or anything in general.
Okay.
What is it?
So let's give
us a bird's eye view.
The brief history of Fantasmic. May 1992, I believe, is when this show premiered. It's a nighttime spectacular that takes place on the Rivers of America. So the Rivers of America is the water area in Frontierland where you see Tom Sawyer Island. And one of the things that I love about Fantasmic is the fact that you're literally walking past this area all day long. And you would never in a million years imagine the fact that what you're going to see that night could happen on this little island that you're walking by all day long in the daylight. It's special effects, you know, water projection, which was like mind-blowing to me in 1992. I remember seeing it as a little kid and just like literally crying because it was one of those things that I was like, I never even imagined anything like this. And the basic plot is the Disney villains are taking over Mickey's imagination and he needs to gain it back. And it's just lots of characters, lots of lasers, lots of pyrotechnics.
Wow.
And spoiler, he defeats the villains.
Yeah.
What?
It's true.
That doesn't sound Disney at all.
There's a fire-breathing dragon. I mean, it's intensely awesome. And they do have a version over at Walt Disney World that opened in 97, I believe. And it's not as good, to be honest. It's ours.
I think they both have their pros and cons.
Absolutely, they do. But I think 90% of the people who have seen both would tell you Disneyland is preferable, which part of it is because we keep adding to it. And I think the general rule we talk about a lot on our show is the fact that Disneyland is very much a local person's theme park, whereas Walt Disney World is a tourist's theme park. And because of that, Disneyland has to update stuff constantly, or else we're going to stop going.
True.
And because of that, Fantasmic has been plussed so many times through the years. And it was planned to run 5 years. It's now in its, 22nd year or something like that. Mm. So 23rd. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and it is a year-round attraction?
Yeah, it's summertime. It'll be every single night.
Right, twice a night.
Even. Yeah, twice a night. Wow. When it's playing, I think it's always twice. Mm-hmm. And what is it right now, just weekends?
I think it's still playing throughout the week. Like, when you get into the non-peak, it might go down on, like, a Monday or Tuesday, but it will always at least play one or two times on, like, peak seasons.
Yeah. And, yeah, when it's non-peak, it'll tend to go weekends. Sometimes it does go on hiatus for a while, but it's, like, literally, if you've never... I get very angry at people who are like, I went to Disneyland for my first time. I'm like, did you see Fantasmic? No. I'm like... You have to go back. Like, you have to go back. This is not an option. Oh, it's incredible.
I didn't see it when I was there.
You have to go back.
I wasn't aware. Well, obviously, I'm well overdue to go back. But I wasn't even aware of it. I have to say, though, one of the things that really stuck out for me when I went there was the... I don't like fireworks. I just don't enjoy them. I kind of... The luster's worn off since my age. It's been double digits. But the most amazing fireworks display I've ever seen was at Disneyland. I was way impressed.
Well, they've got a whole new fireworks show starting on May 22nd. What's the name of it?
What?
Disneyland Forever.
Disneyland Forever. This is the 60th anniversary, and they're fireworks like crazy, but also using map projections, which is a huge thing in the parks now, where they project onto the buildings and such. And they're projecting all over the park, on the buildings on Main Street, on the Matterhorn, on It's a Small World, I believe, on Tom Sawyer Island. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy. I mean, we haven't seen it yet. It hasn't premiered, but I'm excited, to say the least.
I think Disney has mostly, like, desensitized me to fireworks. When I see fireworks, I'm like, okay, where's the music? I feel like fireworks need to be coordinated with music.
Oh, yeah.
Or else they're not fireworks.
Totally.
If there's some choreography going on, it's just lights.
It's pretty crazy what they can do with fireworks these days. It's awesome.
So. Oh, I'm sure. And if it can be done, Disney's going to do it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They have some fireworks that make happy faces.
Yeah.
Like, really? It'll explode and there'll be a happy face.
And
or, like,
stars.
The villains will come out and there'll be, like, a frowny face. It's like, Disney.
They do have, to be fair, they have some work to be done as far as some of those. You know, they could be more perfect than they are.
Sure.
But that's the future.
You can only control a firework for so much time.
But, well, it's interesting because, you know, they are, like, they literally, these fireworks have computer chips in them so that when the explosive goes off, it's timed exactly with the music. So a music cue goes off, this computer chip explodes, and it lets it out so it's timed perfectly. And it's, you know, firework. I actually honestly have said a lot of times, like, if I didn't, like, go into showbiz this route, I'm like, I would probably be a pyrotechnician. Like, I love fireworks and controlling
blowing
fire.
Things
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I love
that
it.
That primitive
so
kind
much.
Of urge to blow things
yeah,
up.
Pyromaniac here.
What are the, I'm not going to ask you to pick one over the other in a Sophie's Choice style challenge, but between Walt Disney World and Disneyland, what are the... What are the pros, I don't want to say cons even, but like how would you weigh between the two of them? Like you said, it's certainly more of a, Walt Disney World is more of a tourist destination, whereas Disneyland's a local park,
which is
true.
Yeah. I have my answer, but I'll let Patrick speak first.
I grew up in Walt Disney World. I grew up in Florida. So I wasn't introduced to Disneyland until maybe about 3 years ago. And now that's become, Walt Disney World is my local park, and now Disneyland's become my local park. And I think both of them have their pros and cons. I have some nostalgia with Walt Disney World because that's what I grew up with. People
sure.
have nostalgia with Disneyland because that was the original park. But I don't. I can't decide.
I'm going to speak for you for a second, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think you've been pleasantly surprised at how much you love Disneyland, because I feel like when you left Orlando, you were a little worried about, like, you know, Walt Disney World is much bigger, has double plus the amount of parks and stuff. I think you've been pleasantly surprised.
I still can't pick. I do love Disneyland, but I do miss some aspects of Walt Disney World, especially, like you said, there's four other parks, and one of my favorite parks out there was Epcot. And there's nothing close to Epcot that Disneyland offers.
I think one thing that we agree upon is the fact that being an annual pass holder at Disneyland seems to be greater than being an annual pass holder at Walt Disney World.
It does, but it's also double the price.
That's true.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's what's very frustrating is double the price, half the amount of parks. Oh. But like we said, it's mostly locals that they're making their business off of.
Right.
But on top of that, there seem to be, and I've never been like a Walt Disney World annual pass holder. I did have the both parks one year, but it seems like we have a lot more events here. And mm-hmm. I wasn't even aware of this until like Patrick came out here and he was like, oh my goodness, they're giving away free stuff. And there's this awesome event.
Happen at Walt Disney World.
Like, he's like, that's not a Walt Disney World thing. So, you know, there's those pros and cons. I think the thing to keep in mind when it comes to comparing the two parks is Disneyland, and people don't often think of this, I don't think, but Walt Disney was at Disneyland for 11 years, the final 11 years of his life. He never set foot in anything completed at Walt Disney World. He died in 1966 and the park opened in 1971. So that's 5 years before it even opened. His older brother literally came out of retirement to finish the park for him, which is why it's called Walt Disney World. It was supposed to be called Disney World, just like Disneyland is Disneyland. And then when his brother came out of retirement, when he opened the park, he said, you know what, this was my brother's dream. This park is known as Walt Disney World. And none of the other parks are anywhere in the world. And that's why I'm so adamant about calling it Walt Disney World. But it's, you know, it's Walt was never there seeing a finished product. So to me, like, that's huge. At the same time, I grew up with Walt Disney World because I'm from Boston. So when we went on our Disney vacations, it was Walt Disney World. I think the first time I went to Disneyland, I was a teenager. And it was definitely, it's so funny when you're in the park and there's first timers who have been to Walt Disney World and you just hear on Main Street, like, oh, the castle's so small. Like, that is such a common statement and it's always fun to hear. But there are definitely rides at Disneyland that Walt Disney World doesn't have that, like, both of our favorite rides is the Indiana Jones Adventure.
I love that. That was a blast.
Mm-hmm. We love it. And that doesn't exist at Walt Disney World. They have a similar ride called Dinosaur, but I think between the two, we would both agree?
Yeah.
Indiana Jones is...
When everything's working.
Yeah. Which isn't always, but
it's not. It's a great designed ride, but it's not the best designed ride.
It's a very great ride vehicle. So,
yeah.
It's cool. It's
yeah, cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. You brought up Muppet Vision.
Yes.
Before. And I'm such a massive Muppets fan. I'm wearing my great Muppet Caper t-shirt as we speak.
We're both newsying it out.
Yeah. Celebrating news, which we can come around to the musicals in a little bit. But I was actually just, as I said, I was going through this book about Jim Henson's business affairs. And one of the fascinating things was, and I was completely unaware of this, and I kind of grew up I've never been to Walt Disney World at
Thank
all.
You.
Just having seen it, you're welcome, on TV. Because I grew up in the era when it was Disney, I forget the primetime thing. Michael Eisner used to host it on Sundays.
Oh, the Sunday night movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it would be a special.
The Wonderful World of Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney. That's it. And there would be specials like the Muppets went to Disney World. Charles Grodin was a security guard. There was one of those back in the late 80s. But there was a plan, which there are sketches for among the Henson archives. And maybe there was a touring roadshow for a while. But there was a plan in January of 1991. There was going to be a big press conference at Walt Disney World. And they were going to turn the run of the park, like the Disney characters are going to go on vacation. Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, everybody.
I think this was Disneyland.
I'm sorry, you're right. It was Disneyland.
So it's those nerdy facts that are stuck in our heads.
You know, as soon as I said it, I thought, wait a minute, should I verify?
I'm pretty
I
sure it's go? Disneyland.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. You are right. And which I wouldn't argue with anyway, but yes, it was Disneyland.
We're not always right.
But on this one, I'm taking your word for
okay.
it. But the idea was the Disney characters going on vacation. They're going to turn the park over to the Muppets to run while they're gone. And the Muppets basically turn everything upside down. It becomes Muppet Land. And and that's Mickey giant statues replaced with Kermit and everything. And it never came to pass, but I thought, wow, amazing that would be. Like, it just sounds like a great concept.
We did an entire episode about this back in season one. I don't know what episode number, but if you check out our website, in season one, we talk all about this. It's true. It was supposed to happen. Disney and the Muppets go kind of way back. I know, you know, I've heard stories that Jim Henson really wanted it to be part of that company. And, you know, I have very strong opinions about how I feel about Disney just buying up all these properties. But I feel like Jim Henson or the Muppets is the perfect home for Disney is the perfect home for the Muppets.
Yes.
And yeah, this thing was crazy. Like, they were going to paint the Matterhorn green, and they were going to, like, they were going to do some really crazy stuff. And like you said, the Disney, like Mickey and Minnie and stuff, weren't going to be as readily available as Kermit and Miss Piggy. And I think that was probably part of
the problem.
The problem.
It's like going to Disneyland and not seeing Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
And that's actually a problem it's happened quite a few times. It happened when Epcot first opened. It happened when Disney California Adventure first opened. Is, you know, those were both originally intended to be very educational parks. Both, especially Epcot, still is to a point. But because of that, they were like, okay, this isn't like a kiddie park. This isn't the place for the characters. And so they didn't have them a ton when the parks first opened. And the public made it very well known. We want our Disney characters in a Disney park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed since, you know, they both had them. But it's funny that they repeated the same problem with Disney California Adventure, because you'd think they would have learned their lesson with Epcot back in 82. But I guess not.
Yeah, that would have been fascinating, I think, just as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And what a tremendous gimmick, too, if it's just for the year or
but it
first
was,
couple of months.
Like, it would have... Here's the thing. It would have been cool, I feel like, for a few months, but to do it to the scale that they wanted to do it and that I would have wanted them to do it, it wouldn't have financially made sense to do it.
That's probably true, too.
It's very weird to think of, like, the holidays at Disneyland not being with Mickey and Minnie, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I would feel really bad for that family taking their first Disney vacation, and they just happened to plan it during this year that the Muppets took over. And it's like, where's Mickey and Minnie? Like, everybody wants that picture.
They're on vacation.
They don't want a picture in front of a green castle. There was a catastrophe castle back during Walt Disney World's 25th anniversary. You know what I'm talking about.
Some people still like it.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay. It was a catastrophe. In fact, we're going through it kind of right now because they've changed up Sleeping Beauty Castle here at Disneyland because of the fact that
We're looking at it.
Oh, we're looking at the cake.
In the monitor.
Yes, we're looking at... Okay, that is Walt Disney World Cinderella Castle's 25th anniversary, where they made it a giant cake.
Wait,
to
scale? Like it's eight castle
size? That is
literally
the castle.
It's not literally a cake.
Oh, no, it was just dressed. That's
in the Southern California sun, that's never going to hold up.
No, but that's the castle. This isn't a model. This is, you're looking at a picture of Cinderella Castle during the 25th anniversary.
Wow.
Where it was completely unrecognizable, made to look like a cake.
But it looks delicious.
But it, oh no.
That would have gotten me there.
Okay, No. I
have a sweet tooth, though, so I'm biased. Between the Muppets and cake, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a winning combination.
But Pat, you know people who actually like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't know anybody that liked that. I think my aunt and uncle went during that time. I got to look for some pictures of them with that.
That's awesome.
But right now, Sleeping Beauty Castle is going through a bit of a transformation for the 60th. They're diamondizing a lot of stuff in the park.
And really?
From what I've seen, I'm not loving it, to be honest. But I think maybe it'll look awesome at night, perhaps. I don't know. What do you think?
I recently found out that the decorations that they are putting on the castle are all, like, handmade, and they actually released a post of, like, this lady, like, hand-gluing all these little crystals to these panels, and there's a couple hundred panels, so I do appreciate the fact that these are all little handmade panels.
Sure, I appreciate the effort. Doesn't mean I need to like it. Like I said, though, I would not be surprised if, like, come nighttime, mm-hmm. whenever, you know, when the 60th stuff starts, if this castle is, like, souped up with lighting and special effects that make it amazing, that wouldn't surprise me. But during the daylight, I'm not loving it at this moment.
It's just going to be super glary, you think?
Yeah, there are definitely moments where I'm, like, blinded by it. And, yeah, it's just some weird, like, geometric shapes that they've got going on. It's interesting.
I like it. I like it.
For the record, Patrick likes it.
Uh-oh, this is splitting the duo. Let me ask you guys this. Because Cinderella just came out, was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just announced that there's going to be a live-action adaptation of Mulan.
Yes.
And I, again, haven't caught up on the recent episodes of your show, so you may have discussed this before, but where do you guys fall on turning the animated classics into live-action versions?
We were literally just talking about this.
Yes.
We recorded this week's episode before coming over here. But, well, they've also announced Pinocchio is happening. Live action.
I've heard Tim Burton wants to do Dumbo, but it's not been officially announced.
Dumbo.
Has it?
I don't know. It's official. It's definitely in the rumor mill.
I heard Winnie the Pooh, actually. Hope they don't do it like Smurfs, where it's like humans and a bunch of
CG. I think it probably will be.
Really?
I mean, how else are you going to do Winnie the Pooh?
I guess. I just think it would kind of fall flat. I mean, I don't know how you would do it, but...
Here's the thing. None of them have done poorly at the box office.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to keep doing them.
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody who liked Maleficent.
Maleficent.
They said Angelina Jolie was great, but as a movie, they just didn't really enjoy. I mean, I know it just printed money, so I'm not arguing the success of the movie.
I certainly didn't dislike it, but I did not go out and buy the Blu-ray. I think we can both agree the one that we're most excited about is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
The casting just keeps getting better and better.
It's unbelievable.
I mean,
and
Ian McKellen's going to be Cogsworth? That's amazing.
And they're making it a musical, which I think is the first time they're turning an animated musical into a live-action musical. Usually, they cut the music out for the most part. You might hear a jingle here and there, but like from what I hear, they have the actors in singing classes and stuff. So, that's going to be a full-on musical from what I'm understanding. And I believe Alan Menken's involved. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, I heard there are going to be a few new songs in addition to the standard catalog that went with the animated movie.
Would not surprise me at all. So that, to me, is very, very exciting.
That is pretty exciting. I think, no, I'm being honest. I think Beauty and the Beast could be a lot of fun. I mean, Cinderella, not really my thing, which is fine. I don't think I was in their demographic in the first place. But, although, I mean, I'm sure it's great. It looks really cool, and I've heard great things about it, and I'm sure I will catch it down the line. But,
Cinderella?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. I enjoyed it way more than I did Maleficent.
Yeah?
I'd say maybe a little bit more.
Gotcha.
I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, now it's being tossed around. What are they going to do? And how are they going to do? Are they going to do a live action? Because people have been clamoring for Aladdin, which I think we'll see what happens with that. Frank, I'm thrilled they finally announced Aladdin on Blu-ray for October 6th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm beyond thrilled about that because it's been obviously in August with the passing of Robin Williams. People, I don't know how it goes. Maybe you guys know this actually with international releases. There's an international Blu-ray. I don't know if it's an official Disney release or if it's a non-sanctioned release, but it was in the Amazon top five for at least a month after Robin Williams' death. But it certainly was never released in the U.S. This will be the first time it's released here.
Yeah,
do you know how that goes?
I don't know how that goes, but you mentioned a live-action Aladdin, and I think that that's the biggest problem with Aladdin these days is I don't know anybody that would dare touch the role of the genie. I can't even imagine an actor being approached to do it. The only way I could see it being done without people flipping out is to take Robin Williams' voice work and animate the genie in the film.
But then you're kind of... the only problem is... I see what you're saying, because it's a role that's... it's so tough to replace.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of adapting the film to the performance, which is a 20 plus year old performance, which I don't know if that's going to take off either because people have the animated version.
I think that may be the reason though why we don't see Aladdin become live action. Could be wrong. Wouldn't be surprised if they decide to do it, but...
I think they'd have to wait. I think it's too... if they do it, I think it's going to be a couple of years off.
Yeah.
But
they've got quite a few in the list already.
Yeah, they do. I don't know if... I'm sure Mulan has at least a year attached to it already.
Yeah,
it's probably within like 2 years.
They're way off. I'd say 2017, 18. Well, I think the Beauty and the Beast has a 2017 release date.
Yes.
So that's like the one that's currently in the works. So anything else we've heard about is going to be beyond 2017.
I imagine they're probably going to do maybe one a year.
Yeah.
Similarly.
It's following that pattern.
Yeah. Well, that makes... I mean, Mulan was just announced like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's
That one I'm actually very interested in. I think that
could be
really good.
Hey, maybe they could bring back Eddie Murphy's The Dragon and then give him a little bump.
We could cut again. The dragon.
No. that I think was a curious thing when people were talking about Beauty and the Beast because they said, how are you going to do these characters as a tea kettle and a candle and a clock? You know, so there's that element to it, which I think people are wondering about. But I like how the Beauty and the Beast thing is shaping up. And I don't like musicals. For shame.
Oh, my God. He did not just say that.
Unless they're Muppets or the South Park movie or Disney animated movies. Otherwise, I'm not a big fan of musicals.
You've slightly redeemed yourself.
Thank you. Like I didn't see Newsies, for instance, because I'm not a big musical person.
It's all right. We forgive you.
I have a question because this is something that's been floating around a lot. And being informed, I'm sure you guys would have something if there is anything to say. I know there are tons of rumors. With the... obviously, the impending release of Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Are there plans or rumored plans that you know of for either? I've heard incorporating Star Wars attractions into the parks, and I've heard a dedicated park in Florida. Have you guys heard anything with regard to Star Wars-oriented attractions?
Officially, no. But there was there's an expo called the D23 Expo, which is Disney's own convention where they decided they've started a couple of years ago. When was the first date of it?
2009. Yeah. August 2009.
And they
the
have one
expo.
Every other year. Mm-hmm. And the past year, what, 2013?
13 was the last one.
Was the last one where they had a project called Orange Harvest. And now Blue Harvest was the code name of the film for episode 6.
Right.
So Orange Harvest was a nod to that, but it was supposed to be a theme park project. However, a lot of things went under with Magic Bands and that project costing too much that they had to put a hold on Orange Harvest.
Hmm.
And everyone is thinking whatever that project is, whether it's in Walt Disney World or Disneyland, it's still up in the air.
Okay. We've heard tons of rumors. I've heard rumors like they're going to blow up Toontown and make it all Star Wars. Who knows if that's true? I've heard rumors that Autopia and the Submarine Voyage is going to go away and like Tomorrowland is going to become a huge Star Wars area. Who knows if that's true? They have announced that they, as of right now, there are no plans to open a third park in California, although they have also said there are definitely plans for Disneyland that have not been announced yet. So we're thinking lots of Star Wars, lots of Marvel stuff going to happen.
Even more so in Tomorrowland recently, they have a whole area called Interventions, which just recently closed and could be a major space for either a Star Wars attraction or a Marvel attraction.
Yeah.
Mm, that is interesting.
There's definitely potential.
I know there's a lot of heat, particularly this year. It's funny you bring up D23 because it was announced that Marvel will not be doing a full-on presentation at Comic-Con this year because D23 is August, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're going to make their big splash, which, I mean, at that point, Avengers Age of Ultron will be out, Ant-Man will be out, and be leading up to Star Wars. But mm-hmm. I'm sure they're after the presentation they did, the incredibly well-executed presentation at the El Capitan in the fall, mm-hmm. where they announced the upcoming Marvel lineup and everything, I thought, okay, they kind of don't need, they can have their own event, and they don't need to go to, as huge as Comic-Con is, they can do something on their own, or they could do something at D23 to really push. Except D23 is more of a closed event, though, right?
D23 is like Comic-Con for Disney people.
Yeah, Disney has pulled out of Comic-Con since they kept all their big news for D23 and made their presence as little as possible at Comic-Con to make D23 a kind of more event for Disney fans and for something to be released there.
I feel like the last one they actually kind of didn't, like Avatar Land was one of the big things that was not announced at D23 last time. And the news came out like a month later and we're all like, why didn't they announce this at D23? So like, I felt like there was a little bit of lacking stuff. Like there was no big theme park panel at the last expo.
Oh, theme parks. Yeah. The 2013 expo theme parks were kind of like brushed to the side.
Which is frankly like the thing I'm most interested in. But
especially for movie news though, like that was a big deal in Comic-Con is definitely movie news, but all that have seemed to be moved to D23.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, one of the two biggest players as far as comic book, especially with the biggest cinematic universe. That was a really big deal, and I thought, wow, they're really increasing the presence of D23. Like, I feel like D23 is going to make a bigger splash this year, and then it's, because it's every 2 years, right?
Yeah. It's every 2 years.
So, yeah it's going to be a bigger deal.
And with the buyout of Spider-Man, I can only assume there'll be more news that will only be released at D23.
Oh, for sure. That's probably when they're going to announce who he's going to be, because they're going to start. Apparently, Spider-Man is a part, not to deviate too far, but apparently he's going to have a role in the Captain America Civil War film, which is going to start shooting soon. So maybe they'll try and keep the actor under wraps and then release it there, have some kind of all-out presentation. Don't know how it's going to go.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. But I think this year, I think this is going to turn the tide more for D23, where it's going to become a bigger event than it has been in the past. Because now with Disney having all these other properties,
yeah,
it's going to make a huge difference. One interesting thing, which is also just announced, was that they were going to be taking another shot at Haunted Mansion as a film, but done by Guillermo del Toro. Did you guys talk about this?
We just talked about this
like an hour ago. And it's funny enough because that was actually released back in 2010 that Guillermo del Toro was going to be taking over Haunted Mansion, and we haven't heard any news from it for the past 5 years.
He's attached to like 19 projects. So.
Yeah. But he's a huge Haunted Mansion fan.
Like, oh, yeah.
Huge. So it's going to happen. It's just like, from what I hear, he's going to do it right. You know, they had a bit of a flop with the Haunted Mansion already, the last movie that they did. So, like, I'm sure that, like, that's a bit worrisome to them. And, you know, they just announced Ryan Gosling's most likely attached to it. And so it sounds like it's moving forward, which is a good thing.
Visually, it's going to be incredible because he's got such an incredible style, like visuals, and a dark style too. Yeah. If you watch his movies, there's a very pronounced darkness to those. So it actually could be like a good family friendly scary movie.
Yeah,
which would be cool because we haven't had those for a while. Maybe when we were kids, something like say Gremlins or Goonies, where it was like a family friendly.
It wasn't until Pirates of the Caribbean was their first PG-13 film from Disney, and like I hope they go a darker route like they've done with the Pirates films. Yeah.
That could be interesting. Maybe they will aim towards a PG-13.
Chris, have you seen the other Haunted Mansion, the original Haunted Mansion movie?
With the Eddie Murphy one?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Thumbs up or down?
Totally down.
Okay.
I don't have enough thumbs to
Patrick?
Put down.
Oh, absolute favorite.
Are you being serious?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm actually really curious if there's anybody out there listening who likes, I'd love to hear people's opinions on the Haunted Mansion movie. So call us if you're
I think they acknowledge that as a misfire. All around. I think it's an idea.
I'm sure somebody likes it.
Oh, somebody definitely. I'm sure kids did. It was a very kiddie movie.
Yeah.
To be honest. And I watched it. I mean, that came out in like 2004. So yeah, I'm in like my early to mid 20s. Really wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure for kids it was creepy, and for people like the ride, it's like, oh, it's Disney. Oh, Eddie Murphy's doing family-friendly movies.
Well, they started going crazy because Pirates was huge, of course. And I think Haunted Mansion was next. And then they did the Bear Jamboree movie as well, which was I actually didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, but I was just like, okay. Like, that seems to be the thing. It was like, okay, making movies out of attractions was working. So let's just do that. Now live-action movies from animated films are working. So let's just do a bunch of that. And you know, that's just the Hollywood system at this point, but
pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, they can always, if it's in development, that's not to say it's going to happen.
That's true.
Hundreds of projects go into development, never see the light of day, if not thousands.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's funny too that you mentioned Pirates. The first one was great, and I think took everybody by surprise. And then they just kind of dipped in quality from there. And then the last one was just, I know they're shooting the fifth one now. I don't know anyone who's looking forward to another Pirates
movie. It'll make so much money, though.
I'm sure it will.
Overseas, they do so well.
The last one did over $1 billion. It was the only one that did over $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
But it's like it's almost like Transformers in that nobody likes it. They make tons of money worldwide, so they're just going to keep making them. So I get why they make them, but it's kind of completely inverted from, say, 10 years ago when everyone was just like, when's the second Pirates movie coming out? Now it's, wait, they're making another one?
Yeah,
what's this, four or five?
I didn't see four, I don't believe. And you've seen them all.
I saw four in IMAX. I was still excited, but I'm out.
Really?
Well, for the fifth one, I'm out.
The thing that's so interesting to me about them is, to me, they're just, first of all, I'm not an action movie guy. It's my least favorite genre. So, like, it's no surprise that I'm not a huge fan. Although I will say I liked the first one. I loved the little nods to the attraction in the movie. And, you know, Jack Sparrow is such a cool character. So I enjoy it, but I just find them really forgettable. Like, really forgettable. You could, like, full-on describe a scene from one of the films. Most likely, I would not recall what you're talking about. And so, like, that's strange to me that they're just so forgettable. And they're all, like, 2.5 hours long. I'm like, really? Could we cut this about 30 minutes?
I think the third one was, like, 3 hours three.
Oh, God.
And I think it just lost a lot of people. Yeah, the first one was such an incredible spread, but it was also new at the time.
Yeah.
So I think it had that going for it.
Plus, and Captain Jack Sparrow at that point was a real character. Now I feel like he's a caricature of himself.
Like since Johnny Depp's played a variation on that for the last how many years?
Yeah.
In every other movie, that doesn't really help.
Yeah.
But there we go. It's just funny because that's come up recently. I have a lot of friends who are just flat out movie geeks. So when we end up talking about things like this, it's like, yeah, shooting Pirates. And I think he hurt his hand, like Johnny hurt his hand or something. And people just saying like, wow, can you believe they make another Pirates movie? And I said, well, yeah, they make money.
They make a lot of money.
Like it is a business. So I get why. I just don't know anybody who's like clamoring for it. Yeah, we need more of this type of movie. But, you know, there you go. They're just going to keep making them because people are going. You know what? You guys had an interesting thing on your Twitter feed, which is a Disney CTC, if you want to follow the show. Once again, Disney with a Z. You can follow Disney CTC on Twitter and Instagram to keep up with the boys and their magical escapades. And that seemed like Magic Kingdom, I figured out.
Magical escapades. That escapades works for us.
Good. Look, it's a tagline if you want it. You're welcome to use it.
Copyrighted already.
Well, dang. You put a question out there. If you had to watch one Pixar movie for the rest of your life, what would it be? I'm a huge Pixar fan. I haven't disliked any of the movies. There's some better than others, but that's with anything. And Pixar's biggest challenge, I think, is that they compete with themselves.
Yes.
And they set such a high standard that they get unfairly compared when any other animation company, Blue Sky or DreamWorks or anybody, would be thrilled to have the kind of box office that the least grossing Pixar movie gets.
Yeah.
But people judge them more harshly because they're a success. But what movie would you guys have to, if you had to choose one, because you guys didn't really mention it in the feed, if you had to.
I have mine. My favorite Pixar movie is Finding Nemo.
Really? That's a lot of people's favorites. A lot of people love Finding Nemo.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if my favorite is the one I would want to watch forever. My favorite is probably Up. I think that Up is a really, like, really beautiful film.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want to watch that on a loop. It would probably be Toy Story or Toy Story 2. Like, one of the Toy Stories, I think, are just, like, a blast to watch. They're so much fun to watch.
The first Toy Story would be it for me.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would want to watch Up. That would be a very depressing life if that's the one I watched for the rest of my life.
Yeah, or Wall-E, probably the same thing. Like, this is what it's come to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're sitting watching a movie.
Yeah.
And the movie involves people sitting around looking at monitors.
Finding Nemo is really good. I love Finding Nemo. I mean, they're all really good. Maybe Cars, not so much.
Yeah. A lot of people weren't crazy about Cars 2. I mean, there has been some concern, I think, that Pixar's gotten more into, while something like, obviously, Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen were huge, back-to-back, no less, then it's kind of
But
become,
those aren't Pixar.
No, I'm saying that's Disney proper. Cool. Whereas Pixar has gone into more the sequel business.
Sequel land, yeah.
There was Monsters University, which is a prequel, which prequels are usually unnecessary. And Finding Dory's coming. They're finally making a sequel to The Incredibles, which has been, if any Pixar movie begged for a sequel, it frankly would be that, especially with the way superhero movies become so prevalent.
And we're getting a Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
And Cars 3.
Is that
Cars
confirmed?
Cars makes a lot of money in the parks. Merchandise, huge. Disney has this crazy, which is why they bought Marvel and Star Wars and all that. They really want the young boy demographic, which for a long time they didn't have. It was young girls and princesses. And they want that demographic, and Cars is that demographic. And so, you know, they keep pumping them out and, you know, they get a whole land for it in Disney California Adventure that I think people like. But it is interesting because the toys sell. I'd say the theme park land is very popular, but the movies aren't the most popular. So it's interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've gotten a lot of, in my voice acting auditions, the majority, it's just funny you mentioned they go for the young boy demographic. Pretty much every audition I've had, be it for a Disney pilot or a continuing series, mm-hmm. has been for young girls' cartoons. I mean, it's usually like animals and you know, things like that they're looking for male voices anyway, because a lot of the principal characters on the biggest Disney shows are female, Sophia the First and Doc McStuffins and whatnot. But it's interesting, I think movie-wise, I think you're right, they do go for more the boy demographic, so they kind of have both ends covered, whereas there's some
I still don't know if the young boys are covered.
Well, between the Marvel stuff, it's skewed way more
they're
male.
Getting, absolutely.
I think that's the biggest, or even Star Wars, really.
Yeah.
Because there's yet to be a real super bad female character. I mean, people like Gamora from Guardians, but that's less than a year ago.
It's just so interesting when they buy up these properties, like immediately they become mouse ears, you know, like you see Spider-Man mouse ears and stuff. And for me, it's really jarring. I don't think it affects people nearly as much as it does me. I'm always like so weirded out by it. And I mentioned earlier, you know, they buy up a lot of properties. And I think that the best two they did was the Muppets and Pixar, I think, were the two that made total sense to me. And now like Marvel and Lucasfilm, I think made more sense because there was Star Wars and Indiana Jones in the parks already. Marvel is so weird. I mean, this is going off in a totally different direction, but just briefly, I think it's worth mentioning, it's very strange, especially for Florida, because Marvel has contracts with Universal Studios theme parks in Florida. And so there's a whole Marvel superhero island at Universal's Islands of Adventure. And do you know the radius that it is? Like a 40-mile radius or something?
Oh, there's like almost like something... There's no availability of Marvel to enter the Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
But it could enter, like, Epcot.
No, they can't enter, I thought.
They've sold Thor merchandise in the Norway store for Maelstrom. Okay.
Well,
but you can't have characters,
no,
right?
Yeah, it's a very... Characters can't even be anywhere close to the, like... left of the Mississippi.
because they're at Universal in Florida. Whereas here, we do have Marvel characters in the parks. So, like, it was just weird when they bought that property. Because, like, obviously a huge part of Disney is the theme parks. And it's like, okay, you literally cannot use these characters. In fact, they got into trouble because they have the monorails, which run through Epcot and runs up to the entrance of Magic Kingdom. And they wrapped it, like, in an Avengers advertisement. And they ended up getting in trouble because of it, because that monorail drove through Epcot and they were not allowed to show the presence of those characters in their theme park. So
that is interesting.
It's really weird and interesting and just a lot of technicalities that I wouldn't want to have to deal with if I were their legal team. But it's interesting to say the least.
Yeah, there seem to be a lot of things surrounding the overall Marvel deal between the rights divided up. I mean, like even the Spider-Man thing.
Spider-Man,
it's like
yeah.
it's kind of like a they can use the character, but Sony still is going to be making any Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. But they can incorporate that Spider-Man and that actor in as a supporting character in Marvel films. And same thing like X-Men and Deadpool and what's the other one? Fantastic Four at Fox. So yeah, there are a lot of things that kind of need to work around. But I mean, the movies even. I mean, Age of Ultron is going to be huge. It's going to be a massive, especially it's funny with, since Fury 7 just opened last weekend, and did huge business. Everybody's predictions are like, well, the summer movie season's on, even though it's April.
Yeah.
People clearly are ready for big event movies. So yeah, it's going to be pretty serious.
That's when
this new Avengers movie comes out.
That's what I think is so interesting about superhero movies is they don't need to be good. Like, even like Star Wars movies, if you remember when episodes 1, 2, 3 came out, people just loved to talk crap about them.
Still do.
But like they make so much money. It's like, don't even, like you're gonna go pay and see it. So what are you complaining about?
I have never been more upset by a theatrical experience in my life.
Seriously.
Can I get one of those Qui-Gon Jinn figures?
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's no denying it's
akin to the customer who's like, I will never shop here again at the service counter, grabs a cart, walks into the store.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. So, can I just say one of the things, not to get off on a huge Marvel tangent, but it's really been bothering me lately. Now, have you guys followed the Marvel movies? Watch them? Do you?
I've seen all of them.
I'm sick of superheroes. I really am.
Everyone's raving about Daredevil right now on Netflix. I haven't watched it because I'm like, a couple movies a year, that's good enough.
Ben Affleck?
No.
It's a new Netflix original.
Yeah, Marvel has a deal with Netflix.
Yes.
It's basically an R-rated Daredevil.
Okay.
They're going to have its own like television universe, let's say. But it's uncensored, same as it would be on any other pay channel.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Patrick, maybe you'll agree on this. Here's what troubles me about the Marvel movies. And the more advertisements I see about Age of Ultron, the more excited I get for it. I need to put this out there. I'm tired of there being no stakes in these movies because all they do is fake out people dying. Because it's...
Yes.
It's like, let's go recently, like Iron Man 3. Ah, Pepper dies. Not really. She's now a flaming superhero. Or
that just piqued my interest. I want to see a flaming superhero. I think it's a
different... You just want to see Gwyneth Paltrow die.
It's a different type of flaming, I think.
Well, you will in Fantastic Four, but that's not Disney Marvel. Or like Avengers. Oh, Agent Coulson dies. Not really. He's in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And or even the end of Avengers. It's like Iron Man. Oh, he's dead. No, he's not really. He just passed out. You know, he's fine. Guardians of the Galaxy. Groot. He's dead. No, he's not. And so I feel like no character's ever going to die in these movies. So everyone's safe.
Of course it annoys me. They need to make the fourth, fifth, and sixth one.
But there's just no stakes. Like that's the. It's one of the things that just. Look, it doesn't keep me up at night. I have not lost a wink of sleep over this. But I just feel like, well, there's nothing on the line. Like, these characters are safe until they decide to recast or retire the character theatrically or whatever.
That reminds me of American Horror Story. At first, I used to get upset. They're like, oh, my God, the character's dead. They're off the show. And it's like, oh, wait, no, they're just a ghost at this point. Like, they're still on here. It's fine.
I think we got to be honest. Like, of course, we have the big moviegoer who's like, story, story, story. But 90% of the people want to go sit down, see cool effects. And that's what those movies give you.
And that's what I think the overseas audience is. Like, I think they just want to see explosions and stuff, and that's why they make a ton of money.
Well, yeah, that translates. Action translates. Romance is different culturally. Comedy, certainly very subjective, probably the most subjective, some would say. But yeah, that's why action movies play so well.
I'm legitimately missing the gene in my body that tells me that stuff is cool and exciting. And I figured this out one day. I think it was for a Fast and Furious movie. They were showing a trailer in a theater before something. And, like, the people around me got so excited, like, whoa, cool. I'm like, this is supposed to be interesting. No emotion whatsoever. So I'm missing the gene that makes it cool.
I can kind of, I'm not trying to one-up you, but I can kind of match that similarly. I can't speak tonight. I picked the wrong day to switch to decaf. I'm way late, but over the weekend I saw Kingsman, which I've been wanting to see for
really
a while.
I've heard really
good things. Which was incredible. Now, bear in mind, this is an audience going to see an R-rated action movie, right? Trailer comes on for Terminator Genesis, which is coming out this summer. Not any audible sound or response during or after the trailer. The next trailer that comes on, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Oh, lots of laughs. Lots of laughs during, lots of laughs after. And I was saying to a friend of mine, this audience was seeing an R-rated action movie, Kingsman. No response from Terminator, which I'm not too hot on. I'll go see it, but I'm not like way excited for it. But Mall Cop? Fat guy bumping into things and falling down? Like,
No comment.
Like, well, we're doomed. That's it. We're doomed. There's no hope.
It'll make money.
It totally will. Mm-hmm. It's going to make a ton because it costs $1.50 and it's going to make $400 million worldwide.
Fun fact, the first movie,
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Shot at the mall in my like hometown where I grew up. It was funny.
I was in Massachusetts.
Well, I grew up in Woburn, but it was in Burlington, Mass, which was like the mall we went to. And I went home to visit. I think it was like May of some year. And I went into the mall.
Paul Blart statue.
It was all dressed in for Christmas. And they had signs everywhere, you know, we're shooting a movie. And it was Paul Blart Mall Cop. And I was like, that's kind of funny that they came to Massachusetts to do this. But
and you're bragging about this?
No, I'm not bragging. I just said fun fact.
I'm not so fun fact. About. Yeah. So. And now it's in Vegas and there's no avoiding Vegas. So
yeah,
there we go. But yeah, that was one of those things where I didn't laugh one bit.
So I've never seen it, to be honest.
I didn't. The commercials tell me what it's all about. Fat guy falling down.
Yeah.
Guy who thinks he knows what he's doing is a bumbling idiot. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see. I saw King of Queens. I know Kevin James's shtick. Come on.
You got so angry there.
Well, no, it was just so weird, like, mentioning that. Like, you don't have that gene. I'm thinking, what is it with me that all these people are seeing? Like, that movie's not a complete 180, but it's several degrees away from Kingsman. But people were lapping up the trailer compared to Terminator. It just made me laugh.
I often find myself in situations where people are laughing a lot. And I think I have a good sense of humor, but, like, we went and saw a play on Friday night, and like the audience was like roaring at parts. I'm just sitting there like quietly. I'm like, I recognize, okay, that's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny enough to make me laugh out loud. So it's interesting the way that people react to things. I actually find it legitimately very interesting.
I think people feed off each other. I think that's one of the reasons, like when you go to a live comedy show, you enjoy it more when you're in a crowd. Same thing going to see movies in the theater.
Yeah.
All right. We're just about out of time. So let me ask you guys this. To continue kind of on a movie thing, because I have more opinions on that than I do the parks, because we've already established my lack of credentials when it comes to the Disney parks. Is there, do you think, an underappreciated treasure in the Disney film catalog, something that you think not enough people have seen or maybe doesn't get enough credit?
Newsies.
Yeah.
Newsies. I mean, it's got a huge cult.
As a film. Yeah.
It's got a huge cult following, but Newsies is one of the greatest movie musicals ever made and an even better stage show. I love Newsies.
I have a couple just like underrated things that, well, movies that I like early 90s that are underrated because they're not Disney musicals. And usually if they're an animated film that's not a Disney musical, it's kind of just thrown under the bus. But Atlantis, The Lost Empire, Treasure Planet.
That has a lot of fans too.
And
actually.
Brother Bear.
I could see that. Well, and that was also like age appropriate for you. Like mm-hmm. those were movies that were
yeah, those
were
like
more so.
Late 90s.
Yeah. So yeah, you would have felt right in there. Okay. I can see that.
But because it's not a musical, like people.
Yeah, they're more really. Straight ahead, just animated kind of stories. Yeah, I get that. Well, that's a big hook for a lot of the Disney movies or musicals, the cartoons. Yeah. You know, they've. Mm-hmm. The
honestly,
soundtrack was a huge deal.
If you really think about it, Disney brought back the movie musical with Little Mermaid. Movie musicals were not being made back in 1989.
That's true.
And then Disney brought it back. And for a long time, it was only animated films. And then I think the public just kind of got used to that format and started enjoying it.
They did it again with High School Musical.
Yeah.
And that gave birth to Glee and all these other atrocities. But anyway.
High School Musical. That's it.
Don't do it.
I did it.
Good thing we're almost done.
Yeah, I did it.
All right, I'm going to do this just because a friend of mine asked me. She said, are you going to do a group sing-along of Let It Go? And I said, no, because I can't stand the song. Do you guys want to sing a couple bars?
I tend to mess up the lyrics. I mean, I can do the...
Are there more lyrics than Let It Go?
Let it go, don't hold me back anymore.
Don't sing anymore.
Hold it back.
Hold me back. Let it go.
Don't hold
it
because she's concealing her feelings. The it is her feelings.
Here I stand and here I stay. That's what I know.
All right, good.
That's it.
We did it.
On that note.
In
that's
summer.
Sour note. All right. You kill his microphone, please.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. And thanks, by the way, thanks to Cheyenne for always pulling up details in the studio.
Yay, thank
on
you.
On the screen that we can see. Thank you so much, Cheyenne. The unsung hero of Cape sitting in Mission Control. Taking care of our needs, pulling up Whitney Houston songs when we need it, and images on the monitor so we can refer to a giant cake that isn't really a cake. What a cop-out.
True.
Once again, everybody, Disney Coast to Coast with a Z.
.com.
Yes, DisneyCoastToCoast.com, Facebook.com/DisneyCoastToCoast, also YouTube.com/DisneyCoastToCoast. Video and audio show, much like this one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch it, or you can check out the audio version on iTunes.
And our audio seems to be very like 50-50. It's actually kind of interesting. Season one of our show was all audio, and people kept writing and saying, we want to see you guys. I'm like, why?
I have the same thing.
But we started doing it for the audience, and it's pretty much half and half. So it's
nice.
Thanks for anybody that tunes in.
Yeah, there was an element of that with this, because there's a live video feed that goes out as we do the show, and I wasn't posting full episodes, and people started asking, like, can we see the video? And I thought, it's just a bunch of people sitting around microphones.
Exactly.
They're like, we want to watch.
Yeah.
And people watch, so.
Okay.
There we go.
You're welcome.
It's, hey, giving people options. That's fine. However they want to consume their content, I'm all for it. But yeah, the show is every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
New episodes, usually runs about a half hour.
Yep.
And these guys, as you could tell, way informed. And once again, follow them on Twitter and Instagram, Disney with a Z, CTC, Twitter and Instagram. Do you guys want to plug your personal social media as well?
I don't know if you can spell my name. Jeff DePauli, JeffDePauli, at Jeff DePauli, Instagram, Twitter, JeffDePauli.com. You can find everything there.
I still have a 2009 username that I thought was really cool, but it was Patrick Z Films. So it's like Patrick's Films, but the S is a Z.
Gotcha.
He has something about that whole switching S's to Z thing.
Yeah, it's just... I feel like people take the S and you're like, okay, what's the next step? Go to a Z.
When we started, it was Disney Coast to Coast with an S, and it got to a point where, you know, we're building an audience. I'm like, you know what? We're going to be doing this. We should try to make it completely legal. It's sort of like Disney with a Z.
Yeah.
So that's what it.
And despite being a fan show, not sanctioned by the company, still, again, incredibly informative. You guys are great. You guys very much have that duo thing going on too. Just the way you interact with each other. It's been, I mean, I know that from having listened to the show. I haven't watched the, like I said, second season. I tend to catch up on podcasts through my iPod, but
you guys
do have that going.
I think one of the great things about being just a fan thing is that we can be completely honest, you know? We're really honest.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't like something that's going on, we say it. And the fact is, we sit around talking about Disney for fun, so obviously we're huge fans.
Sure.
But
and you can be unbiased about it.
Exactly.
So yeah, I
agree. We disagree a lot often too.
That's a good
move. Yeah, it's funny. We agree a lot and we disagree a lot. So, you know, he loves Marvel, I don't.
Well, there you go. All right, everybody, get the show. Once again, subscribe on iTunes and subscribe to this show on iTunes. Much appreciate a subscription. Give the show 5 stars. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Cape Pod. And like Chris Abalo's podcast experiment on Facebook. And you follow me as well at Chris Abalo on Twitter, Chris Sells Out on Instagram. And once again, audibletrial.com/cape. Get your free audiobook, get your free 30-day trial, and support the show. And once again, please spread the word. And thank you, as always, for tuning in. Until next time, for Jeff DePauly and Patrick Dougal, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. See you next week.